on to agenda item 6, and we will hear from Dr. Gary Wolf from the State Water Resources Control Board.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again, as always. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you have on any topic of what's going on in Sacramento, if I actually know. I'm sure there are some conspiracies going on in Sacramento as well, but they're kept secret, so I don't really know what exactly they are about. I do have four topics, as usual, that I picked that I thought might be of interest to you that I mentioned briefly. The first one is I toured the Diablo Canyon Power Plant today, just before coming over here, and it was very interesting. I toured San Onofre Power Plant, the other nuclear plant that's subject to our once-through cooling policy the week before last. And for your information, for the gentleman, Mr. Nelson, I think, in the audience and others who are interested, the once-through cooling policy was supposed to be heard, actually not the policy, the substitute environmental document was supposed to be heard next month, but that's been put off, I've been told, 3 to 4 months, because some of the data in the document was not really apples-to-apples comparison that had been put into some tables. So the Technical Advisory Committee recommended some revisions. Also, the state agency task force that will be charged with helping to implement a policy when such a thing is adopted has been asked to do fact-checking on the substitute environmental document. So we're another 3 or 4 months away from hearing on that substitute environmental document, and that's the current status of that policy, if you will. Second, the Delta Work Plan, the second part that I had mentioned when I was here last, was adopted on July 16th, and we've begun to implement, and we'll be spending a lot of time on Delta issues in the coming year or two. To give you an example of the pace of work that the Delta is taking from State Board staff and also Regions 2 and 5 who are participating in the Delta work team, we have in September alone 2 workshops. On September 17th, a workshop on the San Joaquin River flow objectives, which is commencing an entire proceeding to review and perhaps revise those objectives. On September 30th, we have a workshop on the creation of a Delta regional monitoring program, because the Delta doesn't have a regional monitoring program, and to really have a good handle on what's going on, we need one. And on October 1st, we're holding a scoping session on possible regulations for the control of water use efficiency around the state as to whether the best management practices that are in the memorandum of understanding among urban water agencies, whether any of those BMP should be made mandatory or other measures along those lines should be mandatory as a matter of state regulation. Right now, they're voluntary. Third, I know you're interested in the Cal American hearings on the Carmel River, the water rights issues there, and I can't actually talk about the substance of those hearings or discuss it with you because of the ex parte rules, but in terms of schedule and what is taking place, we completed the evidentiary hearings. The record is almost closed. There's one remaining item we have to resolve. If the prosecution and defense report to us by the end of the day next Monday that they're interested in settlement and they have something to discuss, then a settlement conference will be held on September 15th with all the parties. If there's no interest in settlement, then we'll move on to having closing briefs in 45 days, rebuttal briefs a few weeks thereafter, and then move to the preparation of a board draft order on the matter. And last, I thought I should mention the recycled water policy. The staff of the State Board had prepared a recycled water policy, which then went to a public hearing earlier this year, went through one revision, came back for another public hearing in April or so. And most of the stakeholders who were involved didn't like the policy very much. Environmental groups thought it wasn't protective enough, and industry groups thought it was too onerous. Which is typical, of course. But they volunteered to create a stakeholder group to try to work some of those issues out. They've been working for the last 165 days on that, and they reported to us on Tuesday their results in the form of a draft policy. And on 2 of the big 3 issues, salt management and how to interpret the narrative receiving water objectives in a way that addresses emerging contaminant issues, they reached a conceptual agreement, and the board members all like it as well. So we'll be moving forward to try to revise the state policy along the lines recommended by the stakeholder group. On the third issue of incidental runoff. They reached no agreement. They were just deadlocked. And we will be sitting down with them privately to discuss that and see if we can break the deadlock. If not, we as a board will simply impose a solution with respect to incidental runoff on the various parties. The resolution of the salt management issue may be of interest to you. The industry committed to support the development of salt and nutrient management plans throughout the state for every groundwater basin and sub-basin within the state. That is a huge commitment on the order of tens of millions of dollars of planning work, which would eventually become incorporated into basin plans. And industry offered to take leadership on it. The Association of California Water Industries at their executive level has supported this concept and believes that their board will approve it next week or the week after at their regular meeting. The California Association of Sanitation Agencies and the California Water Reuse Association have already approved this commitment on the part of the water industry. So that's quite impressive result of the stakeholder process. And in addition, on the issue of how to interpret receiving water objectives and to deal with emerging contaminants, the group agreed that all recycled water systems will monitor regularly for emerging contaminants. This includes tertiary wastewater being used for landscape irrigation, which is not currently monitored for the full range of emerging contaminants. And a Blue Ribbon panel will be commissioned then to review that information to make recommendations, and the Blue Ribbon panel will reconvene every fourth year to revise and update the recommendations based on the emerging science as it improves over time. So again, that's a substantial commitment by the industry to invest in our knowledge and better ways to regulate. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Dr. Press.
Well, I guess I'd like to just hear more about maybe look into the crystal ball about once we're cooling. And I had hoped that we would get back to it, but it's been years. And so Mr. Nelson seemed to have a sense that that once through cooling was going to be curtailed in some way, or that the state board was going to try to do something different. Can you give at least a kind of a impressionistic sense of the mood about that issue?
Well, the staff recommendations from state board previously, and then in this most recent, embedded in the most recent substitute environmental document, they're sort of a preferred option for a policy. The staff recommendations have always been to essentially phase out once through cooling, or to impose restrictions that are equivalent to a phasing out, as the speaker said. There's actually a track one, which would be the replacement of once through cooling with other types of cooling. There's a track two that would involve control of impacts at the intakes of the facility. So there is a way for some facilities to not actually phase out the cooling, but to reduce impacts by doing things at their intakes. But most of the plants probably wouldn't do that. Most of the plants, under the pressure of either changing cooling systems or doing substantial things at their intakes, most of them would probably choose to repower most of the fossil plants. So over a time period of 7 to 10 years, I think there was a 2015 to 2018 time frame in the staff recommendation. It's anticipated that most of the fossil plants would change over in some way. Now, that's a staff recommendation. That doesn't make any statement about what the board will eventually do. The two nuclear plants are maybe a little different, and the policy right now has them with, I think it's a 2021 date to have changed out their once through cooling, to have replaced it with something else. But it's not entirely clear, you know, whether that recommendation would be sustained or not, because those plants are quite different than the fossil plants. In fact, that's why I toured both the nuclear plants. The nuclear plants, unlike the fossil plants, don't have a next generation of technology that we can move to that is more efficient, produces less carbon, produces less water impact, and so forth. The nuke plants are more in a position where you have to make a straight trade-off, spend a lot of money to reduce the impacts or not. It's a much harsher decision on those plants.
Now, just to be clear, when you say phase out, you don't mean phasing out once through cooling with the retirement and closing of power plants. You mean a a gradual conversion over to some other form of cooling while still producing power.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I should be very clear, I'm using the word phase out casually because many people do, Mr. Nelson did, so I'm using the same word. But the policy, if adopted in the way the staff has recommended, would not actually phase anything out. It would say that we need to reduce impacts by a certain date. And it could be done in one of two ways, track one and track two. Track one is to change your cooling system.
Right.
Track two is to make major investments in your intake structures.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
And how about the State Board's progress on the on-site wastewater regulations?
Well, I've lost a little bit of track of that one. Last I knew, which was about 3 months ago, we were asked to approve an extra $200,000 for supplemental EIR work, which we approved. God knows why and to what purpose. I mean, that policy has been around for a long time. I think it's 2 years late to the legislature. Even though I'm a sanitary engineer, I find kind of the discussions around it horrifying, and I don't really have a whole lot to tell you. There is such a policy. It does require, at this point in time, it does require new construction to meet pretty substantial standards, but it has very minimal requirements for existing facilities. Something like every fifth year you have to pump out your tank and measure the level of sludge, but it's self-enforcing. The county health departments aren't even required to keep records or to enforce it. So it's a little bit of a schizophrenic policy because it has the new construction and the old, and they're so different. And there's been an awful lot of opposition, even to that minimal every fifth year measurement stuff, because people view septic systems in some rural areas as sort of a right, if you will. You know, it's my right to live on the land, and if I have no way to do something other than a septic system, you're taking away my ability to live in this home. And actually, in some cases, like along the Russian River, there are places where it's going to be pretty tough to do anything, and those homes, you know, their old cabins converted in various ways, and really, you know, potentially becoming uninhabitable. So it's a tough one. That's why it's churned so many years in the system.
But no estimate as to when?
There is an estimate, and I don't know what it is offhand. I'm sorry to be so cavalier about it, but.
Well, you know that Hannah Beth Jackson is running for Senate.
I didn't know.
And she passed this legislation when she was in the assembly, so she may come back to haunt you if something isn't done sooner than later. So
I will tell
don't
you.
Don't say I didn't forewarn you.
No, and I shouldn't be so so casual about it, maybe. But I try to admit publicly when we make errors, and we have been slow. It's our fault for not doing this sooner. I do want to congratulate Dorothy Rice publicly. Dorothy did something rather amazing in her first 6 months on the job as our new executive director. She got a summary of all of the legislative deadlines that existed for the water boards, got status reports on all of them, and went over to the legislature and talked to everyone about the status of, you know, the things they had ordered us to do and the ones that were behind schedule, and explained what they were and said, we're going to do better in the future. We're going to fix this. So, you know, we are taking it very seriously that there are these legislative deadlines, but for some reason we had an accumulation of deadlines when I joined the board that we haven't whittled down that much yet, but an accumulation of deadlines that we were behind on and had failed to meet. In some cases, in fairness to ourselves, we were ordered to do things without any money. And in some cases, the governor said, don't do that thing until you have the money. So like AB 2121, that's exactly what took place. The governor signed the legislation and said, this is fine, but don't start on it until we actually have money to do it. Mm. And he told that to the legislature at the time.
Okay. Any other questions for Dr. Wolf? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure. All right.